Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla is away in Las Vegas. Is he coming up? He'll be coming up soon. He's sitting at a control room in Las Vegas trying to get an ISDN line set up. I'm here with the Barbie twins, Shane and Sia. Nice to meet you guys.
Oh, pleasure
nice
being on.
They have a new book out called Dying to Be Healthy, and it's really quite an amazing book.
Thank you. God, yeah. What an endorsement. I'm seriously, I
wouldn't say it if I really didn't think so. And in this book is a very personal discussion about your own struggles with eating disorder, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And sort of what I like about this is what's folded into it is a discussion about addiction and codependency and recovery.
Right.
Absolutely.
And how those issues sort of go together. Because I deal with that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I run a large recovery program, and in there people often have eating disorders.
Right.
And I see, now you correct me if I'm wrong what your guys' feelings about this are, but more often than not, when somebody gets real focused on their recovery, the eating disorder symptoms subside very, very nicely. They need to focus on some issues pertaining to that also, but a 12-step recovery very often reduces the symptoms of eating disorders.
Absolutely. I really do. I believe that it's a threefold disease. I really do. Like, it's a dry drunk if you just, you know.
Well, I think early on you learn that it's character defects and not that bulimia, it's just a symptom.
It's
so
just
you
a
can
symptom,
just
right.
trade off the symptoms.
You can transmit
you can be
the
a
disease.
Sexual addict. You can be. Oh. Excuse me, we went off for a while.
No, you're fine. You're
okay.
there. That's just the wonderful equipment
here. Oh, I'm sorry.
You
could be a sexual addict. You could be a, you know, alcoholic. It's all the same thing. It's just a different symptom, but have the same character defects of control, being a victim, and all that lovely stuff. And
your
I think
drug of choice is either food or the absence of it, bulimia.
Now, you guys were very, very much sort of public. Your images were all over the world in the early 90s, yes, mid-90s.
Yeah.
And at that same time, you were also suffering with all this.
Yeah, actually, I'm never going to blame. I'm going to take responsibility and not be a victim. We had never planned to, you know, be in Playboy or be a pinup or anything like that. I had always gone to school and wanted to venture that way. I believe that, I don't know which came first, but basically maybe our insecurity made us feel this need to have to do that and made us feel, okay, we can validate ourselves if we're on the two covers of Playboy.
You had mentioned victimization. Was Dad one of the victimizers?
No.
Were there males that were victimized? Do you think that was part of trying to gain some sort of control
no,
over
I do
men,
believe our father was divorced from our mother, and I do notice, I do mention this in the book, that girls that grow up in a family where the father is absent, they do have a tendency to try to validate themselves through men, either through modeling, stripping, centerfolds.
So you had that need, you felt.
Now, yeah. Well, he was a good father, though. It's just that...
As alcoholics go.
Very, well, yeah, he was
a functional alcoholic that did receive recovery.
And your mom's in recovery now, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And she must be a nice, important role model for you guys.
Absolutely. She's very good. She's a therapist, alcohol and drug, alcohol.
Now, what's interesting to me is that we sometimes get, you know, a few people show up when we have guests in the studio, and tonight there was a crowd of people to get your autographs. So do you still get followed around? Is there still a big buzz
yeah,
wherever you guys go?
It's so surprising and so flattering that especially guys, after all these, you know, vomiting stories, that they still like us. God bless them. Because I thought we
sticking
lost
a
commodity as a pinup. I think it is... I'm going to pat ourselves on the back.
Maybe
brave of us to talk about this because no one was out there. It's in Hollywood to be a drug addict, an alcoholic, even, you know, to sleep around. But for a woman to have an eating disorder or weight problem, that's just, you know, you lose yourself as a commodity.
If you admit that you have a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
You're a pig and then you get rid of it. Absolutely.
Now, you guys are your eating disorders active right now?
Well, you're never cured.
It's a chronic thing.
You're never cured. It's a process. There's
no,
days
I'd say
that
we have
better.
a lot of years of sobriety now.
I mean, you guys look great.
Thank you.
No,
it doesn't have to do with that. There is times.
No,
that,
but I mean, what did you lose by? You know what I mean in terms of
nothing,
as a commodity?
Insanity. There, I notice the sky is blue now. My whole life is different. Yeah, there were times that you know we've been told to take Prozac, and
the highs and lows aren't there. It's more serene.
Right. Instead of Prozac, I really worked at...
There's Adam.
There's Adam. We hear you.
Hey.
Woohoo!
Hey there, Barbie twins.
Watch out.
Can you hear me?
Oh, we hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
My husband's a big fan of yours from The Man Show.
Oh, well, thank him. I'm a big fan of yours from Playboy.
Well, oh, thank you.
And
and all the talk of vomiting hasn't shut you down, Adam?
No.
Really? Oh, he's kinky. That's wonderful.
I got it all out of my system in the late 80s. What year did that... Well, you guys had a few pictorials, right?
Yeah, we did two of them in the 90s.
Oh, in the 90s?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Where's the semen gone? Yeah, that was great. You guys on the beach there and rolling around and by the pool. That was great.
Not to take you off the frolicking, Adam, but they really have written a substantial book here. And, you know, I don't really say that very often if somebody's just sort of talking. You know, I'm pretty critical about books.
I know. Right. I listen to your show.
This one is pretty substantial. I'm impressed. And they wrote it without nobody... No technical consultant.
Not even her. I mostly wrote the book.
Well, don't give away your secrets that way.
What's funny, though, is that I always, when I listen to you, I thought, wow, he really knows how to speak to, I think you do such a brilliant job on MTV to be hip enough, yet really know the language of 12-step without turning off people. I think you're doing a good job educating both of you guys. Entertainment-wise and all that towards... It's really...
And Adam, you make it funny.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I saw... Now, what did you guys do? A True Hollywood Story?
We did. And it was funny because we actually asked not to do it. You know, and they kept asking us, please, 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 because we're private. I just didn't think we contributed anything. And they kept saying, for the book, you know, if you can say your life. And I thought, all right, if we can do it... You know, without getting too much sensationalized, if we can do it where we can help other women, then that's part of our recovery, to give back what was given to us.
Well,
because it's
now,
difficult talking about it.
Well, now how, like, we've talked to people who have done those or who have had them done to them, and sometimes people are satisfied with them, and sometimes people feel like they weren't portrayed.
We're bulimic. Of course we weren't satisfied.
But do you feel that you were somehow... portrayed inaccurately or
no, they actually were very, very kind, but of course we didn't like the way we looked. You know, it's new. The lighting was horrible.
That's got to be...
Put a Taliban burqa on us and we were fine.
I would think that would make some other women angry. You know, Adam, these women don't like how they look. You know what I'm saying?
Huge natural breasts on these two. Or at least, if not natural, they looked natural and that's all I
needed.
We
are natural. Always saw that as a fat roll. Never knew that we could make a commodity of.
Two beautiful fat rolls right next to each other in the bra.
And some fat rolls in the back end, too.
Must be frustrating for them. That just really proves our point. I think something you and I
think when you grow up, you don't like them. You do, especially if you have weight problems. So it was really bizarre for us that we could actually... almost therapy to get your clothes off, and because people that live that are dysfunctional always live in the future that they'll look better, so you have to at that moment in time say, okay, like it or not, this is it. And you have to come to terms, and when you pose naked, it's you know, coming to terms with you living in that moment, and that's really difficult to do.
Let me ask you guys a tough question, because I was talking to Drew about it, but I can't remember. A lot of twins, I think, have this me and you against the world kind of syndrome. And you guys feel like you're looking out for each other and covering each other's backs. But do you think you would have been better off as separate people or as twins? Because it seems to me that sometimes twins create this sort of false sense of us against the world.
Well,
do you know what I'm talking about?
It's almost dysfunctional to be a twin because right at birth you're codependent. And if you come from an alcoholic family...
That's a double-decker.
Yeah, it really is. Because you have...
We don't know how it is to be a singleton.
Normal. Absolutely. So right away
sucks.
We're finishing each other's sentences. You know, there's a
annoying.
Lot. Well, the main thing is when you're young, a child develops their own ego boundaries. A twin doesn't. We kind of, we don't know where ours end and start. So right there we have an identity problem.
Speak for yourself.
Now, are you guys together? Are you together each and every day?
No. She's married to
married.
Ken Wall, who, by the way, inspired me to write the book.
Really?
Yes, he did.
You're recovering alcoholic.
He's mentioning.
What's the longest you've gone without seeing each other?
When I lived in Hawaii. That was about 2 years.
Right.
Oh, really?
But we were calling each other a lot.
No, we don't miss seeing each other. I know how she looks. I look in the mirror. That's fine. We do talk to each other quite a bit on the phone.
You know what's really insulting is when people ask us if we're into each other. Please, we have higher standards than that.
Been there, done that too. Deja vu.
Yeah, we get the same question.
All right, Drew, you want to take some calls?
Let's go right ahead. Here we go. This is Justin, 15.
Yes, whenever, you know, I started coming out to my friends and stuff because I'm gay, and I've come out to a lot of my friends, and I'm in 10th grade, and last year is when I started telling people, and I told my mom about a week or two ago, and she was fine with it, too. She said she still loved me, and she won't love me any less.
That's nice.
But she says she doesn't want me coming out at school because, do you remember the Matthew Shepard thing that happened in, like, 1998, I think it was?
In Wyoming?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
And she doesn't want that.
I think that's very interesting that mom sort of picked up the banner for you and worried about what is worrying on your behalf for things that most of our callers usually worry about. But I think that's a fantasy on her part that somehow, I really think that you need to decide for yourself what you want to do and not let her anxieties dissuade you. It sounds like you've handled this in a very mature way. You've been slowly telling people, you've been testing the water, people are okay, you're developing a support base, then you tell your mom, she's good with it. I think you can go on and continue to represent yourself to the world as you are.
Well,
too fearful.
15, he's in the 9th or 10th grade at high school level?
Yeah, but they're accepting him. He's had good results so far.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, why chance it?
Well, how big are you, Justin?
Well, what do you mean?
I think it's a viable question, because if he's 6'4", 250, you're not got nothing to worry about.
Well, I'm like 5'11", 6 foot almost, and I weigh about 140, and, you know, no. I'm not like big, but
that ain't going to work.
No.
No. But tell everyone you're straight. Buy it worst. Justin, look, I don't mean to poke fun, but in high school, it's not a good idea to announce that you're uncircumcised.
That you're anything.
It's not a good idea to announce anything.
That you like decaf coffee.
Right, because people are looking for an opening in which to make fun of you with, and they will find it.
But
and why
hand,
give them that?
But Justice,
I don't mean you have to cower in shame and in fear.
Well, it's just I want to tell everybody that way I don't have to, like, act like I'm straight or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
I have a lot of friends that, I mean, they help me out and stuff, and I mean, I'm not saying, I just want to know if there's any, like, security precautions I can take to make sure, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm taking my mom's side about not coming out because I really want to, because I'm pretty sure I'm 100% gay because I've experienced these feelings forever and I try to push them away and they just keep coming back.
No, Justin, it's not about whether or not you're gay. It's about what is in the interest of prudence and safety. And I listen, it sounds like you've handled things just properly so far. You have a great group of supportive friends. Keep them around you. That's all. Right.
Yeah, but what about maybe mom doesn't want her kid being gay and have to deal with the, you know, PTA and the open house and all that crap. You know what I'm saying?
I think she'd be okay with it. I just think she has a little fantasy that somehow every gay male gets beaten up.
Can I add something? Mm-hmm. My mother's gay. She's a lesbian. And I think she handles it very well in the way that she doesn't announce it. Is more like it's understood, so you get it if you're supposed to get it. Mm. If not, if you're ignorant to it, you won't.
She doesn't push it on people whatsoever.
So the ignorant people that are, I mean, they'll pick up on, the ignorant people will pick on people that are feminine, not necessarily gay. So if it's understood, he's going to be kind of drawn to the right people.
Was she really struggling with her sexual identity when you guys were growing up?
Not at all.
No.
She already knew she was gay.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
She just wanted kids.
She lived with a... Yeah. She
now,
always...
Okay. Help me understand
do you,
that.
Do you think that affected you guys in being so, you know, incredibly
female.
Straight?
Female.
Yeah. No, it's funny because we're very kind of tomboyish and everything. Our image is more our mother. She's very feminine. She was, you know, a beauty contestant. Just
she was
a model, the whole
what
thing.
What people would call lipstick lesbian.
Absolutely,
all the
very
way.
Feminine.
And yet my sister and I were very
tomboyish and into sports and everything like that. She lived with a woman, and I think she felt very good about that. And she only told us when we were 18. I mean,
appropriately. But you understood.
Yeah.
Was there a family at any point in your life?
The only thing...
With her? No.
But Dad was like just sperm donor? I mean, what was Dad?
No, actually, they split when we were about three.
She saw him and she said, oh, he'd make nice looking kids.
Yeah.
And so she got married with him, and then she just knew. She tells me that she feels that gay is not a choice. It is in you.
Yeah, it's in her, sure.
Yes. And I believe that because she tried to make it work with my father, and she knew it was just basically for kids.
She wanted to be a mother, and she wanted to have a family, but then she found herself that it wasn't being completely
honest. The dysfunctional part is having to identify with this guy because it's, you kind of get so that you feel like you're lying if you're not being honest.
Interesting.
But I agree with you. It's none of anyone's business. He just wants to, load it out like I did.
Brandy, 15.
Yep.
Hey, Brandy, what's up?
Well, I'm sleeping with a married man.
At 15. How old is he?
29.
Does he have any kids?
Yeah, he has four.
He's quite a gentleman. Sir Walter Raleigh, is that his name?
Yeah, what a dynamite individual. I'd like to get to know him better.
Now, in fact, let's elect him to office or something. He really should be a leader amongst men.
Well, I called before when Psalm 41 was on, and I asked you guys what I should do, and you guys told me to leave him alone.
Yeah.
Well, we just kind of started having sex.
Ladies, let's let the Barbie twins chime in here.
Oh, didn't listen to them the first time, did you?
Well, she listened to a bunch of guys, is the point. Then maybe you guys can get through to her.
You know, I have to say that if you're 15, this guy is a pervert. I mean, no two ways about it. He's just using you.
I know, I understand that, but it's like,
You got to think about the honesty issue. He has a commitment with a woman, and you wouldn't want to be that other woman. You have to have some kind of respect.
Married? Yeah, married with four kids.
You got to have some kind of respect for that other woman.
Yeah.
See, the more you get involved with this guy,
he doesn't care about you. He's going to be doing this to other women too, because there's no commitment here from his side.
That oxytocin is going to be flowing in you. You're going to invest yourself in him, and he's going to just walk away, find another 15-year-old.
Yeah, Brandon, you don't exist to him. That's the reality. You're just an object.
You're just a young toy.
Yeah, and
I feel bad for you.
To be fair to Brandy, his wife probably doesn't exist to him either.
That's true. Nor do his kids, for that matter. But the fact is,
don't give her hope.
I'm more curious about what it is that would make Brandy find this an acceptable situation.
I don't know. It's like sometimes he makes me feel really special.
Do you think that she maybe has an absent father kind of thing too, like you guys had to deal with? Is it?
Yes. Is that kind also, of wait. She probably. True or false, Brandy? Do you feel that you want to live out the fantasy, and you feel like you're living it out, getting it out of your system by being with him?
Well, okay. I was thinking about it, and I think that I'm doing this because my dad wasn't there, and I'm kind of looking for a father figure, and in a way he is, but it's like there's something else there.
Yeah, there's something else there in that I was...
He's giving you more attention than your dad did.
Well,
exactly.
And I think Brandy's got more going on than just an abandoning father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, but that's...
See, the bad thing is that you're starting to use your sexuality as a manipulation to get men into your life, and that's a really bad road to go down. That's what strippers and prostitutes do because they had father issues. And it's good to be right away to develop healthy relationships and to go to therapy about your dad. I mean, your dad will be always how he is. He won't change, but you're not going to find it by manipulating your sexuality towards him.
Yeah.
All right, but listen, you called once before. We told you to get away from this guy, and you slept with him. So, look, let's use a little reverse psychology. Marry this guy and have his kids.
Have many
Promise
kids.
Me you'll do that. Don't call back until you're pregnant.
With the third child.
With his fifth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, well, I don't blame, and especially if I look like the Barbie twins growing up. Oh, my God. And by the way, I'd like to buy one of your eggs. Drew, what do you think?
There's a harvesting procedure I can go through this evening if you want.
Start the stimulation. I'm going to harvest one tonight.
They're on eBay.
Clear out the freezer. Throw Lycus's lean cuisines out in the hall. We need room in that freezer for a Barbie twin egg. But is a woman, when you're a little bit screwy and your dad left you and you're spinning around emotionally and you have something that guys want, I know we can tell them not to do it, not to rely on it, not to fall back on that, but how can they really do that? Do you know what I mean?
What are the other ways that they can get out from under that?
You could say you have other options. When you say don't, they're going to use it.
But it's such a drive for them to use arousal and to use their sexuality.
Because it's so easy, though.
But what can give them some sort of gratification in
life?
To
look at it as a challenge. Just to say that's too damn easy. Anyone can do that. You're above that. Use something else. There's other options. Go down those paths. Like a challenge. I always wanted to be an athlete when I was young, and I wasn't good at sports. But it was a challenge, so I went for it. Just like that.
Interesting.
All right, Drew, it looks like we got to take a break here, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Is your nose still stuffed up?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. All right. So I can get throw to break?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
All right, we're here with the Barbie twins. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dawn, who says that one of the twins said something that really impressed her when we get back.
Oh, yeah, everybody now.
Yes, I will be.
We're back at Loveline. Adam is in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Yep, we're here with the Barbie twins. They have a new book called Dying to Be Healthy. All the proceeds from that book is going to what organization?
Different various eating disorders that there's a list in here.
And I kid you not, this is a substantial book.
Seriously. And Drew, stop being condescending.
No.
And do you guys have enough? Do you guys have enough money that you can just give it away?
I was just telling Drew, we felt so guilty of all our blood money from all this TNA. We decided to.
We made good money doing nothing.
We're also doing a calendar signing tomorrow. That's what else we wanted to plug. And those proceeds will be going to the firemen and police,
policemen in USO.
This September 11th.
It's a tribute to our veterans. Our father was our favorite vet, of course, a Navy pilot. But we really want to, Veterans Day is coming up. We thought it was very appropriate to do a tribute calendar signing.
Our poster is a number one selling poster with the military right now because it has a flag. And
that's why the guys go for it, Adam, is a flag in the picture.
That's all I can figure out.
What is on this calendar?
The calendar is just us. It's funny.
Posing.
Yeah.
Posing. But we're bigger.
Yeah,
we're bigger.
We're size 10.
You're bigger what?
We used to be like a size 2. Yeah. It was just insane.
2, please. We never been that.
Okay, well.
Don't exaggerate. Maybe a 4. But, we're bigger.
What are you now,
so
4.5?
No, we're size 10 or 8. Yeah, we're big still. But the thing is, small bone, but big.
How tall are you guys? You guys are tall,
5'9".
Right?
Yeah, 5'9".
And D cups?
No, we're 34C about. Yeah. We're not as big as people think we are.
So when we say we are big, I'm saying that we look like a wrestler.
Yes, we're muscular. We're bringing out the healthy look, hopefully. Huh. And hopefully we're also motivation for women because basically we're saying if we can do it, you can do it. I mean, we became so fat efficient from all the starving we did. And we took our knowledge and applied it towards our life. And I think we look healthier and better now.
I want to hear what Dawn's got to say. Dawn, 22.
Yeah, okay. Earlier, one of the Barbie twins said something about, you know, thinking in the future and, you know, living for the future. Like, you know, one day I'm going to be this and then I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Or am I not making
sense? Oh, I sure do.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing about living in the future, it's kind of dysfunctional thinking. Through therapy, I've been taught to live in the now or not in your senses. A lot of, you know, drug addicts say, they don't have any future goals or anything like that. If you live a healthy life, you should live in the moment. That most of us daydream in the future or we live in the past.
A big secret, big key, gratitude. That's the difference.
Yeah, appreciate what you're doing and do two things, contributing and connecting in the world, and that keeps you in the now, but out of the body by doing charity and something contributing.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question is this. I guess I'll explain a little bit first. I remember being 18 and looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I'm going to quit this destructive behavior and that and this and that, and by the time I'm 21, I'm going to come out as this kind of person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then about 3 days ago, I did it again. By the time I'm 25, I'm going to do it, and I didn't link it with the time before. And I never knew that anybody else felt that way until she'd said that, and I was wondering, you know, how do you really It's.
Yeah, I did that with a dieting. In what 2 weeks, I'll be thin and perfect. Right now, I didn't want to be in my body. It's an unhealthy way of thinking. You have to do your best today and appreciate what you've done in the progress, not the perfection. You're going for the perfection. Something right. In the future, and the future doesn't exist. And I mean, who knows? We could all blow up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you have to just live in the now.
Yeah, we could have been in the World Trade Center, you know?
That's exactly. Nice. I'll be on a plane in about 16 hours, ladies. So thank you. Heading back to L.A., and let me just say this. Do you guys get out to Vegas much?
We cool. did MTV Spring Break.
Yeah.
And Drew, you've been to Vegas many times. Do you notice how ill people speak of Los Angeles, the folks who live in Vegas? It seems like every cab driver is a transplant from
right.
L.A.
Yes, yes.
And they always they have no remorse. They're like, where are you in from? L.A. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
I used to live out in L.A., but the corrosive smog, the riots, the crime, the high taxes, earthquakes, I got the hell out of there. And you're like, yeah, thanks, a-hole. I'm going home tomorrow. I'll be raising my kids there. Thanks. Thank you very much. Do you want a tip now?
Normally, I get those guys like up in Big Bear and,
California. You'll get them in Vegas, too, Drew.
Good times. All right. This is Jason. He's 25.
Hey, I can't believe I'm on. I had a question. I guess it's kind of for Dr. Drew, but I'd like to hear what Adam has to say. But I just met a girl. And just met her, so I'm not in love or anything. And she told me that she has herpes. And I guess I just kind of trying to get the best information I can to make a good decision.
Which herpes?
That she has genital herpes?
Yeah, I think so. But I should probably have to clarify that with her.
Yeah, well, she can take a medication that will decrease the probability that a virus is being shed or that she'll have an outbreak. You can wear condoms and decrease the probability of contracting the disease. And if you limit your contact to a time in which she's not experiencing any symptoms and wear a condom, it's a reasonable risk.
Yeah, if he wears a condom, she could have a bloody ulcer. He could put a condom on, he'd be fine.
Well,
hey, Jason, when did she drop this herpes bomb on you?
Well, I met her Thursday, and then Friday we went out, and she stayed over at my house. And we're like, you know, just like in the bed and stuff.
And what were you guys doing?
Well, I like, you know, sucked on her nipples and stuff and fooling around kind of stuff.
Uh-huh, and, sucked and, on
and,
nipples.
And then when I tried Check. To kind of go Check. Further than that, she stopped mm-hmm. me. And then we're just kind of cuddling. And
maybe she just wanted to stop.
Well, that could be. It could be an excuse to get you to stop. But on the other hand, I'm impressed that she gave you the information up front. A lot of people
know,
sort of let it rest.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, nobody's that honest.
Yeah. Nobody says, stop, I have herpes, you know, uses herpes. Why? That would they just say, I crapped my pants, don't go down there? It's less humiliating, please.
Well, it wasn't
nobody uses herpes as an excuse.
Oh, yeah. you mean it must be true? She's just an honest person.
It is true. It is true. Well, look, you're a Barbie.
Yeah. Well, she told me because I was kind of telling her I just try to avoid getting anyone pregnant or getting STDs.
Look, I'm just, she sounds like a substantial person.
Yeah, she's a keeper.
And it's
genital herpes, by the way. I mean, that's why she stopped you, right?
That must be what she's talking about. But I think this is a, forge on. Move forward.
What?
I think you should forge on with that relationship,
All right.
Jimmy, 13. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Hi, Jimmy, what's up?
Well, I was at school today.
Yeah?
These guys were talking, like, if you masturbate too much, that your penis won't grow right.
Won't grow back?
Won't grow right.
Won't grow right. I'm going to put you on home because that phone connection is awful. Adam, you've been experimenting with this for years.
I was going to say it's untrue, but then I took a look down and thought, the kid may have a point.
Maybe that's the problem here.
Would you like a calendar?
Yeah. Well, look, you Barbie twins already screwed my penis up in the early 90s.
That was that incident, wasn't it? They had to sew it back on.
No, I really mean it. I feverishly beat off to these two and they play both pictorials.
I'm sure
both of them.
I'm sure they're very impressed.
Sorry, Adam. I can hear
feverishly.
Every compliment. I'm very dysfunctional.
I thought it was Jenna Jameson that caused you to pull your penis off.
No? Well, it had just healed. It had just healed from the Barbie twin.
I see.
And it scarred over, and it was the doctor said it was coming along nicely, and then the Jenna Jameson on DVD came out, and then it went again.
Pow, pop.
That's right. Now I'm keeping it off.
This is TC, who's also 13. Where do you keep it, Adam?
Yeah, you think I'm going to tell you so it'll wind up your ass? How dare you?
TC, go ahead.
I'll never see it again.
Hey.
Hey there.
I got a joke for you.
For Adam? I hope.
Both of you.
For both of you.
All right, go ahead, TC.
Okay. God brings Osama bin Laden and George Bush together.
Yeah?
He asked bin Laden, you get one wish, what is it? And he said, and bin Laden says, put a 100-foot wall around Afghanistan. And then God says, granted. And then he asks George Bush, and he says, what would you like? And so George Bush thinks for a minute, and then he says, fill Afghanistan full of water.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a few words of encouragement, Adam. You had the way.
Well, let me give you a tip, TC. You're young. You didn't make fun of the Polacks, the Jews, the Blacks. There was almost no racial stuff in there at all.
So he's got to work on that.
Yeah, that's the cornerstone to good comedy.
So
you can work religions, you can work
shame,
ethnicities,
humiliation, abuse. Those are the three key words in comedy.
Little
is that
sex.
Right?
Right, right.
Oh yeah,
but it was clean.
Okay. Mike is 20.
But clean without funny is an empty victory.
I see.
Well, I don't care about it. Hey.
Mike?
Hold on.
Mike?
Mike just told you to hold on, Drew.
Yeah, Mike, I'm dropping him off here. Katie, 17. Katie?
Mike, oh, you're on a roll.
Try this here. Katie?
Can you hear me?
There we are. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is it possible to get pregnant if a guy jacks off and then fingers you?
I mean, the same hand?
Yeah, but Katie, you know, you can make dream up a scenario as easily as any of us can, whereby there's a possibility this stuff can happen, right?
No, it actually did happen.
No, I understand it actually did happen. But
I see.
The point is, no one could give you a number that predicts the probability that some sort of haphazard encounter with semen, the probability that would lead to a pregnancy. If you were concerned, you want to take emergency contraception. It's something you can take within 72 hours of contact that will prevent an egg from being released and prevent a pregnancy.
He did this to himself and then he did you?
Yeah.
I tell you, I think this guy's a keeper. Because I always say I'm going to do stuff to women, and then I beat off, and then I call it a night.
You fall asleep and smoke?
Yeah, I fall right asleep. Yeah, I get myself pregnant. I mean, I got all kinds of grandiose plans for the woman, but then once I get off, that's it. So the fact that this guy kept going at you after he was done is quite a testament to his will.
With his hand, though, see?
With his hand. And Katie, you didn't get him to do that, move where he wipes it under his armpit real fast or anything?
How long ago did this happen, Katie?
How
long ago did this happen?
Well, the first time I actually realized it happening was Saturday night.
So we're more than 3 days out. So how about the last time?
I'm sorry, what?
You said that was the first time you realized it had happened.
Yeah, see, we've been kind of like doing stuff since the middle of October.
Mm-hmm. So Saturday night was the first time. When was the next time?
No, see, that was the first time I actually noticed it. I think it happened before that.
I see, the last time.
This guy sounds like quite a gentleman, by the way. Katie? I'm going to try to describe this guy to me. You tell me if I'm wrong, all right?
Yeah.
I'm picturing a guy, monogram blazer, ascot.
Postgraduate educated.
Postgraduate education, of course. Well-traveled.
It's like a young,
tassels on his shoes, has a pewter cigarette case that he uses, always opens the door first for the ladies. So, am I right?
A little OCD.
I hate to break it to you because you're usually always right, but you are so far off.
Oh, he's
are
shocked.
Shocking.
Shocked.
Going the other way.
Were you telling me this guy has a mullet and drives a lowered pickup truck?
No, really, he's a good guy. He's 18. He's in school with me. He's going to college.
And he wears a mullet and drives a lowered pickup truck. Okay.
He can't wipe his hand off before he goes in?
See, he didn't, I don't know he realized it. See, what usually happens is he does this when I give him head.
Oh, he finishes himself off.
No, it takes him too long, so I let him do it, and then I just finish it for him.
All right, you just be careful.
I see, okay.
So you be careful. This is Will, 29. Will?
Hello.
I mean, what are you going to say? Get the morning after pill, put it in your medicine cabinet, use it if you feel you've been exposed, and be careful.
Yeah, she's not pregnant.
Will.
Hi.
Hi, Will.
I have a weird question. My brother, he was into, veganism.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went into raw, where they don't eat any food or any food that's cooked.
Hygienic. Just and raw nuts, fruits, and vegetables. Raw. We did that for
you
years.
You did that too, huh? Okay.
And how'd that work?
I liked it.
All right.
And then Will?
He started reading about breatharianism, where you don't eat any food whatsoever, and you're supposed to like live longer or something like that.
Eat no food whatsoever?
Yeah.
There is such a thing.
You're supposed to like stare at the sun for a little bit in the morning or something stupid like that.
Oh my God.
Did he read the 21st Survival of the 21st Century?
Or went to Hippocrates Center?
He read a couple things.
I read the same one.
There's a website out of Australia that talks about it.
He's definitely bulimic because we went that direction.
Jesus Christ. I took a 50-minute flight from L.A. and was pissed off because I only ate twice on it.
You know what it is obsessive in the way that he wants to do better. He's competing with himself.
Yeah.
First, he competed with what's the most outrageous, and it's never enough. And so that he's at the point of not eating.
Like a yogi.
But
I wasn't thinking too much about it. Then we were out.
You live off your
own. Middle of nowhere, and he was. You know, he had his back turned, obviously, he was taking a piss. I went up to talk to him, and he turned around, and he had a jar in his hand, and then he drank
the piss, yeah.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
I wonder what kind of damage, I mean, because he said he does research, and you're like, you can drink it four times, and it's not toxic or something like that.
Well, I mean, they use it like a vaccine or homeopathic, where it's supposed to trigger your own immune system. I've heard good, it's contradicting, but it's also radical.
Yeah, it's very radical.
I call it crazy.
Yeah.
Drew, jump in. And what about number two? What's he
do with that?
No, don't eat that. Just
put him
one.
Away if it's number
But you can
two.
Tell how healthy you are by your number two.
But you've, like, the twins have heard about this, though.
Oh, yes.
Interesting. But, okay, so what, I mean, he says...
I like being a vegan, but that, yeah, I've met radical vegans that did get to the point that it's called autolization, like a potato put in water. How the potato grows roots through its own cells, that's what you're doing. Is you're almost fasting off your ketosis, off your own body.
Potato uses water, though, to create carbohydrate.
Yes, I know, it's a very good point.
They try to say
sunshine and your own urine, and
that's very minimal eating, a little bit of total unadulterated.
Some people are fruitarians where they just eat fruit, no chlorophyll.
Yeah, even as a vegetarian, it's hard to advocate that because very few people know how to eat properly or the proper protein, and instead they turn to sugar, therefore making that cycle of hypoglycemic.
Yeah, I'd have to say probably the smartest doctor out there that really knows his stuff is Dr. Barry Sears with The Zone. He got a Nobel Prize with the aspirin because he talks about eicosanoids, and it's not a voodoo thing, but he really shows you that the bodies have never changed since the caveman days.
And they're dictated by hormones.
Yeah, and that we should be grazing nuts, fruits, and vegetables and meat. Mm-hmm. We're hunters, that our bodies are made for that.
Listen, tell your brother.
He's got some serious problems. Whether or not it's
how come you didn't make fun of him and kick his ass right there on the spot? This guy's a serious disorder.
He's weak. Yeah, he needs some food.
He comes from the same family that his brother comes from.
Oh, yeah. You live off urine and pollen that you inhale when you run.
Sunshine. No, listen, he is either some major psychiatric disturbance. If it's a primary eating disorder,
bulimia.
It may just be that, but it may be a much more serious thought disturbance.
Look, anytime you get too crazy about what you put in you, whether it's food or a penis...
It's obsessive-compulsive.
It's obsessive-compulsive.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a nice balance.
Of penis and food. In his case, the urine, the BUN can develop an encephalopathy. It can be very serious. You can actually become uremic from that. So, we're going to take a break now. We're here at the Barbie Twins. The book is Dying to Be Healthy. They are doing a autograph signing of their calendar tomorrow. Where?
Tower Records on Sunset.
What's
from 7 to 9, 7 o'clock.
P.M.
Yes, and it's a whole tribute for the veterans, so we're going to sing the national anthem. The proceeds go towards a relief fund.
Fabulous.
So it will be fun, like a party. Come.
I'm Dr. Drew. I'm here in Los Angeles, and Adam is in Las Vegas. We'll be back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Love Line, I'm Dr. Drew. I'm here with the Barbie Twins, Sia and Shane. Adam is in Las Vegas. What are you doing there in Las Vegas?
Gambling.
Actually, I'm working.
Shocking.
Are you
dancing, or what is it you do there when you're in Vegas?
He's working women.
Yeah, I tried a little exotic dancing, but the thong back got tangled up in my ass hair, and it was not pretty.
Face.
Yeah, I will be going to the Olympic Gardens after the show tonight, by the way.
Enjoy yourself. But listen, we had a really interesting discussion without you here about female cross-dressing, something you and I have talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that they have actually described themselves as that, as women in drag.
Women, and, right. Yeah, that's the fastest words that I could come to my head, because we're very tomboyish into sports, and my mom, who happens to be gay, is very feminine, and I just felt like it was lucky I had her as a mother, because I could be me and not role play. I didn't feel like I had to be feminine and all this to attract a man. I didn't even feel like I had the need to have a man in my life. I'm happily married because we have, I think, a healthy friendship marriage. But when I dress up and I do this stuff, sometimes I feel, okay, this is what the public wants, but I feel like we're dressing in drag, because we don't wear heels. We don't wear makeup. We play sports.
But it must do something for you, though.
What does it do for?
It's like a Superman syndrome. It's kind of fun coming out and
Superman. It's in,
intoxicating.
No. What
it's
I'm
intoxicating.
Saying, it's very intoxicating. Yes. It kind of replaces, like I said before, it kind of validates that feeling. You know, if you're on the cover of two Playboy covers, then
you.
I couldn't
people
be so
you.
Bad.
Yeah,
barfing
you.
In the bathrooms. You know, sorry.
Hey, do you think males who wear the cowboy boots and sport the shirts with the sleeves cut off and drive around the raised
That's
jeeps
my
are sort of
type, so.
Sorry. Do you think they're male impersonators?
That's a good point. You know, I used to even say that sometimes guys that are guys are almost latent homosexuals, because they prefer the company of other men, and they only use women to make themselves feel masculine.
Adam.
There's a lot of men.
Adam,
how dare you?
There are a lot of men out there that define themselves through their own sexuality, so they have to stay in that role playing. And it's funny, because I watch some of these playmates and some of these sexy women, and it cracks me up that they are really that way all the time. And to me, it's like role playing. It's like
when Pam Anderson goes home,
she's
cross-dressing.
Always sexy. Yes,
always cross. She can't let that go. So then
we're not sexy.
So it could be sort of. I think of it sort of a fetish. I mean, they have to be in control that way.
Or defining themselves. They would be lost without feeling maybe sexy all the time.
We were talking to Chris. Interesting, that's all there is to that.
That's all that there is. Where with my husband, I'm lucky to have my husband. We can watch sports together, bet against each other, and just be
go
me.
Go to the batting rage.
Yes.
You know.
Batting rage is batting cage. Oh, I'm raging, okay.
Drew, it's true, you do a nerd. fetish, don't you?
Yeah, I'm nerd dressing as nerd.
Right.
Yeah. Chris, you were saying about these dysfunctional relationships you love to get into.
Okay, yeah, I can't have any relationships, period, because if I have one with a normal girl, then she just doesn't want to put up with me. And
because you're trying always to evoke a fight?
Right, yeah, kind of subconsciously. I don't, try to do this, but it just happens. And then I have this one girl who I keep going out with, and we break up. When we have a fight, we'll break up, and then we'll talk to each other for a couple of days, get on the phone, we start talking again, start fighting again, it's just...
You guys must come from the same kind of family, basically.
Yeah.
Well, how old is Chris?
Chris is 16.
Oh, 16?
He's already into
this. All bets are off at this age.
You know, another thing that I find with people that like to argue is so hard for them to communicate... Just to say thank you, I love you. Those feelings are so traumatic that in order to actually be nice to someone, they have to really be rude to them so that they come back.
But it's also familiar. It's your family.
It's the highs and the lows.
So it's a way of staying away from intense feelings and avoiding intimacy, and also the comfort of the patterns of the family from which you've come, right?
Yeah.
Chris, that's all.
Okay. So, listen, you're 16. You're way ahead of the game because you're questioning it already.
Good
and just
you.
Keep an eye on yourself and keep working on yourself.
Sound.
Because, I mean, this is something that if you're over it at 25, it's a victory.
Alan's 35. Alan?
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm kind of scared and confused. I'm
I've got my wife and son, and when I was 13, I was molested by my mom's 18-year-old male cousin. And I've really been battling with just being attracted to guys and just being obsessed by it. And I've gone through SA and counseling and everything. It just doesn't seem feel like it, they're able to get to the core of it.
Do you ever act on it?
I do. I go on the internet.
But
I go to gay porn sites and sometimes the chat rooms.
But it's in sort of a fantasy way. I mean, do you ever contact these guys? Do you ever have contact with guys?
I've been to bookstores.
Yeah, but what I mean is are you meeting guys or are you blowing guys?
No.
Do you feel that you're homosexual? Because I know how to answer that. I have known people in your predicament, and unfortunately it does happen quite a bit. And what it is that you're not necessarily homosexual, because I don't feel that homosexuality is a choice. I feel that you were trained to be seduced by something taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you feel that you can only be sexually aroused by something that is kind of kinky, dirty, not allowed, illegal, immoral. And so you're turning to this not because you're attracted to men, because it's not acceptable.
Yes.
But because that's probably was your very first stimulation, was another man doing it.
Okay.
So it's Pavlovian.
You know what the next step that you should do? Because I have found, I've heard, because I've been to SA as well, very good program, by the way. But I have found that so that men don't go to the route of molesting again, because you want to gain back your power. You've lost it out of that anger and that fear. You don't want to be dictated by it. Therefore, you try to get your power back by trying to do it towards another child subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even it's in your fantasies to get rid of that hatred and that anger and that vulnerability. The best thing that you could do is go to a therapist and act it out with them, a grown-up, so that you get the anger out, take back your power, because you can't do it to another child.
He's calling him.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like they've been able to help me with it.
Well, maybe you haven't really dug in and really done the work.
Honesty, man.
Yeah, and again, it's acting that out against a boundary and then seeing what kind of feelings are evoked. If you're able to act it out in a way where you just continue to repeat the patterns of the past,
mm-hmm.
nothing changes. But when somebody sets a boundary and reflects back to you a little bit and does it properly, all of a sudden some pretty heavy feelings start coming up, and that's therapy. Maybe it wasn't the right therapist, maybe you didn't dig in far enough, but that is something that you can be treated for, and you really need to be treated for before someone else is hurt.
I know, I don't want to hurt my son or my wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know,
I
think...
really supportive of me. I've acted out on it as far as going and doing things at the bookstore with other guys and stuff.
All right, but just stay with the program. And maybe you're gay. Maybe this is something you've got to reconcile too. Maybe that's you know, it's not about necessarily changing your sexual orientation. It is sorting through these feelings and history of trauma and the possibly post-traumatic stress reaction you have. And if there's also sexual compulsivity, dealing with that. And at the end of all that, there still may be a sexual orientation that's not heterosexual. We don't know.
Jesus, awesome. Could you ever mention sex more and have it be less erotic? You know, you said sex about 18 times in the last 40 seconds, and my penis went down a quarter inch each time, Drew. It's
can
now in my ass.
Vaporized.
Yes, you could. But, you know, here's something I want to bring up, too, which is I think it's important for the Allens of the world not to constantly beat themselves up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a wife. He's got a kid. He's trying to do right by them.
Yeah.
He slipped up a little, but it's been sort of a fantasy. He's not hurt anybody. And he's going through life like damaged goods. Like it's this constant battle, and his life is almost, you know, he sounds tormented.
Yeah, he does sound.
And I think it's you know, Alan should know that everybody has their own crosses to bear, and that we're all, you know, have struggles, and he shouldn't just feel like damaged goods and like, you know, he's an insane person.
You know,
he should feel better than he does.
Wait, one thing though, if you use pornography as something like an addiction, then that becomes destructive. But going out to whatever he does to release himself or to experiment, that's fine. But if he's filling up something and it's not enough and he has to get more and more and more of it, then it becomes destructive.
Julian is 25. Julian? Julian? Julian's asleep, maybe?
Oh.
There you are. What's up? Oh, he just woke up. Sorry to wake you up, Julian. Just, you know.
Just hang up on this jackass.
You're late. You're late.
All right, then go now.
Okay, I have a question. I don't know what taking medication Celexa is. What is it supposed to be doing to me or what?
It raises the serotonin levels in your brain. It's a mild medication. It has very few side effects. It's for depression.
Okay.
You should have less panic, less anxiety, less mood disturbances, better sleep.
Okay, because...
Yeah, I think it's got the sleep part down.
No, I drink. I drink along with this with this medication.
Drink a lot of alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible that someone's giving you the wrong diagnosis. Maybe you're actually an alcoholic. And about 100% of alcoholics are depressed. But the treatment for the depression of alcoholism is treating the alcoholism, not the depression. Here is Daniel's 15.
Oh, hi. I have a question about, like, when it's acceptable to lose your virginity.
Go ahead. What's the question?
15 years old?
Yeah.
Do you want to lose it?
Yeah. That's kind of what I was asking.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No, I don't. But, like, one of my friends at school, she's been, like, asking me if I want to have sex with her. It kind of shocked me at first, but she's been going at it for, like, a few weeks now.
Been asking you?
Just bothering you for sex?
What?
Bothering you for sex?
Yeah.
And she's your girlfriend?
No, she's a friend.
A friend.
Hmm. How old is she?
She's the same age as I am. 15.
Jesus Christ. Where were these chicks when I was in high school?
Yeah, Daniel, if this is something that was sort of appropriate and if you were really ready for, you probably would have already done. Your senses, your instincts are telling you this is sort of a dangerous situation and something not good for you to get into, both by virtue of the fact that perhaps you're not ready, and secondly, there's something up with this young lady, right?
Yeah, I think there is, but she, I don't know. So. Like, she goes to my church and her parents seem normal, but I don't know, there's something about her that's just different.
Your parents seem what?
Her parents
seem normal.
Normal.
Like, I don't think... they molested her or anything, or there's any reason.
No, it doesn't have to be that, but it's just, you know, just follow your instincts on this one.
Yeah, and there's guys, as we know from doing the show, there are guys who are 15 who are like inmates in their 30s, and then there are guys who are 15 who are like, who's the kid, who are like Harry Potter. you know what I mean?
Right.
And he's a little on the younger side for 15. He hasn't blossomed yet. So don't rush yourself. And I agree, this chick should freak you out just a little bit. And you're probably right if your spidey sense is tingling.
Chuck is 13. Chuck?
Yeah.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, I just got arrested a while ago. And my parents are like kind of just like tightening up. And like, I want to reassure them that I'm not like going to turn into a felon like three other cousins I have.
What were you arrested for?
Reckless endangerment.
What does that mean?
Ran over a kid in his big wheel.
I pushed like 5-foot snowballs into Tudor. It's a street in Anchorage.
5-foot snowballs into what?
Into Tudor.
That's the name of a street?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, sure.
It's also a style of house, you know?
It's the famous family in England.
These big snowballs rolled out into the street and could have hurt somebody?
Yeah.
Did you make the snowballs?
No, they were just pushed out by these graders that go down the street.
Have you had other behavior problems?
Like in school, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe that's how you ought to convince your parents you're not going to become a felon.
Anything involving snow should not be a crime.
No, but I understand
that. You can't help. A 13-year-old boy's got to throw snow at somebody.
Even if it's 5-foot-high snowball rolling down a hill at 30 miles an hour. Be that as it may, he's a behavior problem at school. Of course people are going to be worried about it. If this kid were a perfectly well-behaved guy with straight A's, something like this happened, they'd let him go.
Well, what's up with the rest of your family that's a bunch of felons?
My cousin, she's done everything wrong. She is.
All right.
She's just, like, living on the streets and off her friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, oh, man, I just, like, lost my breath there. But my mom's like, you're going to end up like your cousin and live on the street, whatever, if you don't straighten up. And, like, I'm not going to, like, be a felon.
Right, but, Chuck, the idea here is not to convince your parents verbally. It's to earn their... confidence by getting your act together and flying straight.
And yeah, just get your grades up and play some sports and don't pull any shivs on anybody in the seventh grade and you'll be fine.
It's not what you say, it's what you do. Annie's 22.
But you got to know, if you name your kid Chuck, he's got a much higher likelihood of becoming Chucky. A felon.
Well, but particularly if you call him Chuck throughout his childhood.
Yeah. Shouldn't he be called Charlie or something when he's young?
And then Chuck.
Chuck, yeah, Chuck. There, it's Chuck or two things. They're that one doll that stabs everybody, and then there's that horribly unfunny. Then there's Chuck Grodin, who's on 60 Minutes too, and he's even scarier than Chucky the doll, or at least less funny.
Annie,
hello.
Annie's 22. What's up, Annie?
I have a very low sex drive, and it's really bothering me a lot. That I have a boyfriend. We've been together for a very long time. We've been together for about 4 years. And it's starting to, I wouldn't say affect our relationship. It's not, he's not mad. It's becoming an issue.
Yeah. Was it always this way in this relationship?
Yeah. I've never really had a high sex drive.
And you're on no medication.
I'm only on birth control.
And have you been on birth control for years and years?
For about 3 years, yeah.
And before the birth control, the sex drive was still low?
Yeah.
All right. Adam, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, you know, when she was saying she had a low sex drive and she was 22, I thought, well, maybe she's single and it'll all work out. But then she said she was with somebody and I realized there was a problem. But, you know, women aren't with guys for the same reason guys are with women, you know? I mean, like, if you had a guy with a really low sex drive, he'd probably be single.
Right. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So, in a way, it's almost like a guy could feel used. Because you're in this relationship just for everything but sex, and I'm not getting what I want, which is the only reason I'm here is for the sex. I mean, I pretend like I'm not here for the sex so I can get sex, ironically, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I feel bad, and it's like I said, I just feel really bad.
How often are you having sex with him?
Not very much, like a couple of times a month.
So every other week?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm abnormal. That's what I feel like, because I'm defective or something.
Is it possible this relationship isn't quite what you think it is?
I don't think so, no.
Can I ask, is your self-image pretty good? How do you feel just about yourself?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm not, I'm pretty good.
How do you feel being naked?
okay.
All right. As I notice, people who feel pretty good being naked seem to like sex a lot.
I wouldn't say I feel good being naked, but...
Hey, are we onto something there?
Yeah, do you have him turn the... Does he have to turn the lights off when he has sex?
No, not necessarily.
All right. So it's not like you're uptight or you have a low self-image.
I don't know. No, that's not... No, I don't think that's it. I don't know what it is.
Have you been this way all the time?
Yes.
So it's just kind of your cadence is a little slow.
Yeah, and that's the way some people are.
Yeah, but it's making me feel really bad.
Can't you just put out? Why don't you just hold still and let him hump you once a week?
But that's not how I want it to be.
Yeah, I know, but it's not going to be how you want it to be.
Well, the beautiful thing about being a woman is that you can fake it.
That's true.
Absolutely.
I mean, multiple choices on fake orgasms.
Yeah,
just go for it.
I would rather it not. I was wondering if there's, I don't know, is there like something I can do? I don't know if there's.
Well, yeah, you could train.
Or something.
I don't know about that, but you can train your mind to get off on pleasing your guy.
Right.
And then it just happens.
How about, let me draw an analogy here, and I'd like the Barbie twins to weigh in on this one. Drew, we always talk about this, that, you know, as a society, we never want to tell a woman, just get busy.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so you don't like it, sister. Get in there and please your man a little bit. I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds like we're talking about rape here. But there's so many things in life that you don't want to do, whether it's studying or working out. And people say, look, just turn off the TV and get busy. And when you do it, you feel better when you're done. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And there's some repetition to it. And why is this so much different? You know, I mean, every time you go to the gym, you don't feel like going to the gym. But you motivate, you get up, you go. You feel better when you get home. Why can't she treat it this way a little bit?
I agree with you, Adam, totally. I think that women and men are wired differently. But women, if they want to be with a man, have to understand that they think about sex 24 hours a day. And if they want to make that relationship work, they need to be a partner in that fantasy and help them out there. And you can actually increase your serotonin by going, I'm happy. So you can do that even with sex. You can actually visualize and start stimulating yourself any way it takes to get in there.
And, you know, maybe he just needs to, you know, bang some of the rust off, yeah.
And it is kind of interesting, though, that that is part of a commitment, right? A commitment to helping him, the partner, manage whatever.
Women love to be stroked and told they're beautiful. They're not
Well, guys need to do that, too, though. Guys need to make a commitment to really pay attention to that also.
Could there be something medically wrong with me?
It doesn't sound like. Do you menstruate normally?
Yes.
You have normal body hair distribution, normal height and stature?
Yes.
Normal weight?
Yes.
And you're on no medication other than the birth control pill and no medical problems?
No.
And it's been this way since you were 15?
Yeah. Yes.
You're just honest.
Yeah, so it's,
there are so many women out there that fake orgasms.
I want to talk to the Barbie twins for a second about faking the orgasm.
A, B, C, or D.
That's the thing I find interesting because you mix them up, right? I mean, you give different fakes for different positions.
Absolutely. The haunted house, the choo-choo train, the squeaky door, the goat. No, quite honestly, if you really get into opera.
As soon as you, if you really get into it, really, you could get off, literally, on seeing your
man. Guys like to think that it's them, but it's really the woman doing it in her head in conjunction with the man. You really have to participate yourself. You cannot sit there with a nail file.
All right, so give me a little sample of, let's say, the
choo-choo
train, the haunted house, chupacabra. That was which
haunted
one?
House.
That's haunted house. Yes. Okay, good.
Choo choo train.
Next stop, the refrigerator.
All right.
See, and that was that. Oh, give me the goat. Do you have the goat?
That is so lame, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
That is.
See
real.
Why
it's
we
not
don't
sexy.
Act. Well, it was a goat,
with,
though.
Stick with the choo-choo train.
Let's put it this way: it's so unsexy they believe it's real. Okay.
Right. we want to believe.
Come on, when
so
it sounds really sexy, I'm going fake.
Yeah, we really want to believe, and when you really want to believe, we're like those Mexican chicks who see Jesus in a tortilla. I mean, we want to believe so badly.
Too.
He's just there.
We're here with the Barbie twins. They're signing calendars tomorrow night at the Tower on Sunset, 7 to 9 p.m. The book is Dying to be Healthy. I want to hear a little more about what kind of medical problems you guys got into with all that, but we'll hear about that after the break.
Loveline, 191. Back in a minute.
Loveline, the Barbie twins are our guest, Adam.
He's in Las Vegas.
He's in Las Vegas. And Adam, remember Omar the other night who called, who had the dad from Suckadickus?
Yeah.
Well, I got an email from Graham who tells me that there is, in fact, a city in Mexico called Zacatecas.
Ah.
Which, when the mad stutterer pronounced it, it sounded like Suckadickus.
But is there a Ubangus Uranus?
No, that was your hometown for his
that
mother.
Was mine. Yes. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, poor Omar. I feel bad for that. Well, I think that was a real call. I really do.
Drew just apologized to Omar, and we'll move on.
I'm sorry, Omar, for my partner's behavior.
C and Shane are both here, better known as the Barbie Twins. Dying to be Healthy is the name of their book, and they're going to be at the Tower Sunset tomorrow at 7. Signing calendars and pledging allegiance to the flag.
That's right, for Veterans Day.
Tower Records.
And your dad was a fighter pilot?
Yes.
What did he fly?
I don't even know. Isn't that?
That's what I love about chicks.
Hey, everything you heard about them is correct.
He asked that question because he's never met a woman who knew what the dad did in the military.
Oh, he's lucky to know he's in the military.
That's right.
he was a pilot during Vietnam?
No, actually during the last part of the Korean War.
Wow.
Wow.
So those are those.
That's great.
69. What were those planes?
F-86s.
Yeah, wow.
Is that
with
the Navigator? Wow, I'm impressed.
I don't know.
Did they have there's a whole bunch of them, but the little fighter one was probably an F-86.
Sit there and be pretty. I'm impressed.
On the back cover of your book, it says near-death experiences with eating disorder. Were you hospitalized?
My sister was. Actually, both of us. Here goes our calendar cells. I developed a fistula in the mouth from an infection.
From vomiting?
Well, a lot of people thought was that. Actually not. When your body becomes very acidic through ketosis, losing weight, and a lot of athletes are this way, your bones are really bad because your alkalis are robbed to neutralize the acids. So my jawbone kind of gave away, and I had an infection at the same time in my tooth, and it met up.
It went to the bone.
Yes, I went to the bone. It was a very serious operation because I had a heart murmur from dieting, and I decided to heal myself naturally and fast, and they said, you can't. It's like, you know, the more you wait, the worse it is.
Yeah.
So I have panic attacks in hospitals. I'm very, very scared of doctors.
Did they think you had heart valve infection also?
No, they just said
I had bone infection.
Yes.
And just to clarify, bone, you'll lose bone with bulimia because your estrogen levels go to zero.
That's true, too.
Your immune system doesn't function, so a tooth infection that would otherwise be sort of contained can erode down into the bone.
Absolutely.
And then bone infections are really bad, need IV antibiotics.
Yeah. So I had to get cortisone shots in my legs, too,
But the main thing was 10 hours of exercise.
She was in the hospital because she developed pernicious anemia, the fatal kind, where her body just shut down. It would not do anything. She was like a dead person. Her blood pressure was so low, it just didn't even exist. Mm. And that's what happens. Bulimia, people think here in America, is just a mental disease, where in Europe they're finding out that it literally hits a body like AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a horrible disease. And here we see it later on as symptom complexes like chronic fatigue and into other diseases, and they never first diagnose it with bulimia.
Problem.
Yeah.
What did Karen Carpenter die of exactly?
Yeah, that was anorexia, but I did my research there. She really died of taking the laxatives, and I know a lot of people define bulimia as laxatives. When you're that thin and you take 50, whatever it was, Dulcolax or whatever, you are robbing the body of every electrolyte, and you're going to have a cardiac arrest, and your heart's going to be weak from dieting. And we felt in this land where everybody is doing crystal meth and even human growth hormone and all this, we thought, hey, we're just super healthy. We're only exercising 10 hours a day. We're superwoman. And we're excessively dieting in a healthy way and cleaning out our bodies. So we never saw it as a bad thing.
Right.
We thought we were just super
Later,
healthy.
We found out that laxatives have ephedrine in them.
Some of them
which
do.
Is like a speed.
Yeah, and we only took laxatives towards the end.
Business of treating people who are exercise, you know, excessive
junkies.
Exercisers, that is one of the more difficult eating disorders to treat because
Absolutely.
Of precisely what you're saying, the denial is supported by our culture,
right.
Which is that, hey, you're just extra healthy. You're you're just exercising more. What could be wrong with that? My trainer says it's good.
Yes.
My nutritionist says it's good, and it's all bad.
It really ends up being bad.
You know when it's bad, when it's destructive.
Well, when it's taking over. You're supposed to get healthy to not think about the body and think about
my dates had to do my exercise with me.
Yeah.
I would not stop my exercise. They'd have to come and run with
me.
Balance.
Fred is 23. Fred?
Oh, Dr. Drew, thank you very much for taking this call. I'm filled with anxiety, and the situation is I've been calling AIDS hotlines all over the country. It's been like an AIDS hotline telethon for my house, and I'm getting conflicting information, so I knew I should come to you. The situation is I met a girl, and it was kind of like a one-night thing, but there was no penetration involved, but only genital to contact. And
Is she an AIDS patient?
I'm just suspicious right now just because her... I don't know who she is, but assuming...
Is she an IV drug user?
She just has a wild lifestyle. I can't really go into specifics because I don't know too much about her.
What's wild about it?
Well, first of all, I just met her, and she was willing to do whatever on that night. And just by... just by some of her behavior.
If every, oh, Fred, if, you're yeah. freaking out.
If every woman that behaved like that had yeah. HIV, uh-huh. we'd have half the population gone here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Assuming if she was, though, was there a possibility?
From non-penetration?
Non-penetration.
What?
It was brief, but the thing is, she was menstruating the same day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not at the moment that there was contact. She wasn't gushing forth blood, like, right then.
Gushing?
Yeah, but...
Quite an image you paint. What was it, what was the contact? I haven't quite clear on that yet.
The contact was just, like... That's all it was contact, like maybe brushing against each other.
But how about your urethra? Did the opening to your penis touch anything moist in her?
I mean, I can't recall. If so, it was very brief.
All right, well, just, you know, Fred, this would be, we'd send you to the CDC if you got HIV from this, really.
Yeah,
you mean for them to study?
Yeah, we'd have to study you to figure out why you contracted a difficult disease to contract after no contact, basically.
Fred, why are you so paranoid?
Well,
that's the
question. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned the CDC because I was doing pretty cool, and then I called the CDC and I talked to a couple of the people there, and they said, yeah, actually, there is a possibility because you could exchange fluids.
Oh, Fred, and please. Then, Adam, ask him your question again.
Look, he's paranoid. Get Fred off the line. Fred, stop. You're a 26-year-old man. You're supposed to feel invincible. You're supposed to be having anal sex with Haitian junkies at 26.
Wear condoms, know your partners, be careful, and just stop.
What is it?
Out.
I don't trust guys who worry too much about themselves. And let me take this moment to say this about AIDS. See, this is what we've done. We've thoroughly freaked everybody out with all the left-wing homos saying anyone can get AIDS. It's everyone's disease. Everyone has a chance. It doesn't discriminate against sexual proclivity or skin color or ethnicity. We do all this crap. We beat the crap out of everybody, and now everyone's paranoid. The people that have AIDS are junkies and who else? Drew, the gays. These are the guys with the AIDS.
In this country, it's the needle and the butt love.
That's the AIDS. In this country, yes. Yes. Can heterosexual people get it? Yes. Is it rare? Yes. He doesn't have it from doing this.
Lisa.
And I think we do everyone a disservice by freaking everyone out with this.
Lisa.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just got my tongue pierced, and it's like, it's pussing.
AIDS. AIDS.
No.
Forget what I said. You got AIDS. It's pussing. Yes.
It's really, really swollen. I mean, it's not like really, really. It's like a red.
Did you go to a piercing place?
Yeah.
Did you talk to them about what to expect?
Yeah.
And are you using those mouthwashes they gave you?
Yeah.
Are you using ice on it?
Yeah.
If you're concerned about it, call them back. They have a lot of experience with this stuff. I worry about these things. They can swell up like crazy, get infected, occlude your airways. It can be a huge mess. If there's any concern at all, go to an emergency room, but give the people that did this thing a chance to instruct you before you do anything like that, okay?
Yeah, just like one more question.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
When's do you know anything about these tongue rings and stuff?
Yeah.
When's the earliest I can have, give oral sex?
Tonight.
Yeah, if you
about
survive,
a half hour ago.
Yeah, if you survive the night, yeah. Talk to them at the piercing place. These epithelialize pretty quickly, but I would think it would be a couple of weeks. I'd still expect that.
The Barbie twins aren't into all the weird piercings, are you guys?
No. No, I think it can look sexy on certain people, but no, I even took them out of my ears.
Really?
See, I stay away from metal.
The thing that's really funny about life is that's not your vice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk to people all day long who are pushing stuff through their skin and painting on themselves and putting beads in their penis, and that's their thing.
We don't even wear jewelry, though. We're
right,
kind of weird in that
You way. Got something else going, or you had something else going, and that was your thing. But it doesn't bleed over into other things.
You don't get everything.
I like that.
Yeah. You get bulimia or you get piercings.
Exactly.
Don, 20.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, I just want to say I listen to your guys' shows a lot. And first of all, I love you, Adam. You're great. Dr.
Thanks.
Drew, I think you do great stuff for us.
Well, thanks,
helping
Don.
Everybody. It's just totally awesome.
What can we do for you?
All right. Well, I've known this girl for about 5 years, and we've been good friends. We talk a lot. For the most part, she's
lived about 3 hours away, so it was more of a long-distance relationship thing. And, I mean, when we get together, there's stuff would happen. We'd make out and kiss and different kind of stuff. Just recently, like within like last few weeks, she's moved closer and we've gotten more intimate and we've just remained friends and stuff. And we've had sex and stuff like that, but I'm really wanting to get a relationship because now that she's closer, I'm not worried about the long distance thing at all.
Have you told her this?
I have. I've talked to her about it, and she's not against doing all the extracurricular activities, but she is not really interested in a relationship. But the thing is, I am, and I'm not sure if I want to do all this stuff without the relationship.
You're not going to let her fool you into getting a BJ without wearing your ring.
It sounds like he's healthier than she is. He wants a real relationship. She doesn't want one, and that's a deal breaker, basically.
What do you guys think? Do you think his only shot is to kind of pull back a little bit and see if she comes to him?
I don't think she's coming to him.
You don't think so?
No, not
but
the way he
would
wants
that,
it.
If he wanted her to, wouldn't that be his only angle?
You guys have
to pull back?
Yeah, to pull away.
Yeah. I definitely, because there's a, it looks not very masculine when you start smothering. It looks, because it's unusual. I mean, we're used to men being Neanderthal and pulling our
girls
hair.
Girls don't like guys that are attach themselves. They want to give birth to that. They don't want to have sex with that.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
Same place, though, ultimately.
Yeah, it's true. One's going out and one's coming in, though.
But, you know, and then going out again. And then I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. Once in, out, I'm done. And I count the initial going in as once. But in general, wouldn't all of you agree that your only shot when you're in this kind of situation, and we talk to these people all night, every night, is you tell the person what you want, and then you just pull back.
Right.
And that's your only shot. Mm-hmm. And if they come after you, fine. But if not, you are never going
to
get it.
And I think Don is just healthier than his friend, and he's got to recognize that he needs more from a relationship than she has to offer, and that's reality. If he wants to drag it along the way he's been going and it's not too painful to him, fine. Otherwise, he's got to get away.
Yeah, you can't force it. Sometimes women fake like they just want the casual sex
because
they don't want to scare the guy away.
Yes, all the time.
So he might be pleasantly surprised. She may want it to.
Adam, we got to go to break again.
All righty.
So
we got the Barbie twins here. I'm in Vegas, and we'll be right back after this.
Love Line, I'm Dr. Drew, here with Barbie Twins, Adam Carolla.
In Las Vegas.
Yes,
today.
Sir.
Yeah. Let's see if we can burn up a few more calls before we call it a night.
Hey, we go through a lot of calls when you're not sitting here, by the way.
Thanks, jackass.
Also, and I think you and I get along a little better when you're not sitting here, too. Maybe we ought to, I don't know, this kind of works, doesn't it?
Oh, we miss him.
Yeah, you do.
I want to see you in person.
I miss you guys too, but I'm gonna be with you as soon as I get back to LA and I go through my closet.
All right.
Jerry is 27. Jerry.
Oh yes, Dr. Drew. This is probably more of a question for you. I'm taking a drug test tomorrow, and I smoked marijuana about less than a week ago, Saturday night exactly. And I just found out yesterday that I have to take a drug test tomorrow for this job. And I wanted to know what are my chances of passing, if there's any home remedies I can take.
And that was your first exposure in a long time?
Was that
when you stopped smoking pot every day?
No, I've done it maybe about a handful of times in the last 2 or 3 months.
How about
What job are you going for?
I'm going for a AV tech position.
AD?
AV.
AV.
Audiovisual.
And does that mean when you say, how many times in the last 2 weeks have you smoked pot?
The last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Twice. And both are a week apart.
Yeah, you'll probably be fine. Don't skip your breakfast. You got to eat. If you start losing weight, if you start mobilizing fat, you can mobilize pot. Stay well hydrated, but don't take any of these adulterating.
Yeah, I've heard that they can show up as
that we are looking for that. If you have any evidence that you've been trying to adulterate your urine, that is a positive test.
What if he drinks it like the Barbie twins?
Drinks the urine?
We never did.
No,
they just stared at the sun.
You said earlier you drank your own urine. I heard you plain as day.
No. This is Chris, 2020. Chris.
Yeah. All right. My girlfriend, she won't masturbate, and I don't think she's ever had an orgasm. So I want to know, what can I do?
How old is she?
She's 17.
It's hard to
wait
get
till 30.
Someone,
yeah, I was going to say, give her some time. let her grow into it.
I mean, this is the problem, quite frankly, too, when you're 20 and you're dating a 17-year-old. You know, at 20, you should be dating a 23-year-old. I mean, if you want to have some fun sexually. Because you end up being this Svengali sexually. You know what I mean? You have to teach them everything and hope they catch on and hope they've been doing their masturbatorial studies and not cheating or writing the answers on their wrists or anything. If she's not into it at this age, she just may be a few years off. I don't know if you're going to be able to talk her into it.
Well, I don't know if I want to talk her into it. I just, you know, isn't there like some technique or something that might help?
Ladies?
Well, no. I always say it's not the guy, it's the woman. The woman sexually stimulates herself in the brain. She gets excited being with you. So it's not you. Don't take it personal. It's about her. She's too young. At that age, girls want to be told they're pretty. They're not into their senses yet. Some are.
All right, what's his only angle? Just sort of kiss a lot of ass and
I like
make her
what
feel
you
good?
Said. Well, yeah, I mean, if you want a sweet little cuddly relationship, fine, but I go with what you say, a 23-year-old for him.
This is Tim, 30.
Hello?
Tim?
Is this Dr. Drew?
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, hey, maybe someone's playing a prank on me, but they wanted me to call your show.
About what?
Did Drew call asking about something? What happened?
You know, I'm the guy who walks around, has a broadcast system, is under surveillance all the time.
And what?
Tim the crazy person?
I guess.
Oh, okay, Drew, let's make this easy. What does it say on the screen?
Does Adam want to talk to this guy? Says he's John Rocker.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's John Rocker?
John Rocker is the controversial
baseball
pitcher who was with the Atlanta Braves, who made
all
those racial slurs
stuff
about New York. Drew, please.
He's so handsome.
How is it you know nothing about anything?
I only know him because he's handsome.
John, 32.
Really? You into him?
Oh, yeah. He's so handsome. I think he's, you know, not very bright with what he says, but at least he says what he feels.
Right. All right. Bigots can be attractive, too, I think the point is.
John.
Yes.
What's going on?
There's this girl that I've been in love with for, gosh, almost a couple of years now, and she's a really good friend of mine, but she doesn't feel the same. So how do I get over her?
Not be around her so much.
Yeah, you just got to back off and whack off.
Here's what here's what you're asking. How do I get her? Which is not what's going to happen.
Oh, very good.
Right.
Yeah, and so when we say, hey, stay away from her, get over it, you're like, oh, you're disappointed. That's supposed to help me. No, you've got to deal in reality. The reality is this is not going to be a relationship, and why continue to punish yourself? Once you've had a few months to mourn the loss of this fantasy, then you can have a friendship again. But in the meantime, no way.
Yeah, you don't even ask about this anymore.
Yeah. There's one chance in 100 you're going to get her, and that's if you back off.
He is not going
to. One in 100, and that's backing off. So that's your only recourse.
It's 0 in 100 by any other route.
Would you shut up, Drew? It's 1 in 100 if he does what we tell him to do. Is that so bad?
And it's 0 if he does anything else.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Drew's right. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. What do you say?
Yeah, it's good. You're off to the Valentine Gardens or wherever you go.
No, I'm going to come back and say bye.
Olympic Gardens. That's right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
Who's John Rocker? Do you see what I have to deal with?
Relax. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Drew, I'll wrap up the show.
Oh, okay, Adam. You go ahead and do that.
That's the least I can do.
The Barbie Twins are just making fun of me for being a nerd.
That's okay. Not true. I don't just think the opposite.
Go ahead, Adam. No. Sorry.
All right. See you and Shane, the Barbie twins, for coming in here tonight, or coming over there tonight. Dying to Be Healthy is the name of the book, and they're going to be signing a calendar at Tower Sunset tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Right. It's all for a good cause. So get down there and see the girls in the flesh. I want to thank you guys for coming in. Promise I will be there next time you come in.
All right.
Absolutely. I want to thank Ann for doing a great job lining up the guests and producing the show all week long. Engineer Anderson for working his magic fingers. Tara, don't call me Tara, for doing a mediocre job on the phones all week. And, of course, Damien and Lauren. I'm not sure what they do, but I see them around there myself. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.